Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of 8 post-COVID multifamily property management predictions. And joining me today by phone is Jessica Feuer, the managing editor of MHN, Multi-Housing News. And also joining in this conversation today is Stephanie Graves, co-founder of Q10 Property Advisors. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
So, full disclosure to our audience, this topic of 8 post-COVID multifamily property management predictions was an idea that I saw from a blog that Jessica did for MHN. I think it's very timely, and kind of give us an idea, Jessica, on how you came about writing that. What was the motivation?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Paul. Well, you know, just sitting at home, and everyone's, you know, different now with the stay-at-home orders, which got me thinking, you know, work is different. Multifamily is definitely going to be different. Everyone's getting used to this new time. We're sort of in the middle of it now. And I keep thinking, you know, this has got to end soon. We're all going to get back. But what's it going to look like when we get back? And, you know, I had some ideas of how things might change when things are sort of back to normal.
And so you're actually making some predictions. Were these based on conversations you had with people within the industry?
Conversations I've had, I've seen posts on social media, I've seen what we've been reporting on our site, and you know, they're all sort of pointing in the same direction.
Well, let's start out with one of the major ones, I think, one of the projections, and that is cleanliness. You know, we've got a different world now, and cleanliness and sanitizing things is on the top of everyone's mind. What did you find out about that prediction?
Well, I think, and we see this now, that everyone is going to be cleaning everything. I think in restaurants, there are even positions now where your sole job is to follow people who leave the table and just make sure everything's sanitized. And a big part of it is not just to sanitize it, but also that you're seen sanitizing it, because people want to know that it's clean. They don't, you know, they trust you, but they want to see with their own eyes. So I think this is going to be a big issue, especially in the common spaces in multifamily. I think the main desks are going to need to be wiped down all the time. I think there are going to be bottles of Lysol and hand sanitizer everywhere, and people will just really talk about how clean they are and make sure all their residents are aware of that.
Stephanie, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting from, you know, we have properties from A to D, you know, from luxury apartments that have all the amenities to ones that don't even have offices, that you're just kind of meeting in the parking lot and going into vacant apartments to lease. And it certainly is, you know, we've viewed it from different perspectives. Is that, one, is it that you want to make sure from the beginning that you're cleaning and you're having a responsibility to keep your team safe, but also to present that in a way that the residents understand that while there is a degree of responsibility on the on-site team staff to keep things clean, it's also a responsibility of theirs to take ownership and to understand that, you know, unfortunately, we can't have someone like at a restaurant follow you around and make sure that everything is cleaned and sanitized. And so having those mixed messages of, you know, we clean this fitness center 2 times a day. However, you should assume that if you're using this fitness center, that you should clean before you use it and after you use it. I think that messaging is important, and I completely agree. I think, you know, Jessica is a little soothsayer in a way of seeing what's going to happen for our future in multifamily. The other part of it is if anybody's gone to a restaurant lately and they've gone to one that you really see a heavy responsibility and you see how clean it is and how perceptive they are and the image they present of presenting a safe, if you will, sanitary environment. And then you go to a restaurant where they don't present that, and maybe the booths aren't wiped down completely, or they, you know, some restaurants have the little sign that says this has been sanitized and some don't. We're certainly going to see that disparity and the setting the bar in the industry between those that really take this seriously and take a degree of responsibility and those that don't. And I think that is going to alter people's buying decisions when they're competitively shopping for apartments in the future.
Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, because I'm sure that when you're on the front lines dealing with this, when cleaning and sanitizing, you know, I actually saw on a social media on one of the forums, the multifamily forums, you know, people looking for recommendations for companies that can come in and sanitize. What are you seeing out there right now is some of the methods people are trying to use that number one, give the residents a peace of mind, but also the employees that they're working in conditions that are favorable to not being caught up in this pandemic.
Sure. You know, it's so interesting the different ways that we see people adjusting to this. And one is, you know, some people taking on the full responsibility from a management perspective of making sure that everything is clean and sanitary. And then the others, which is that, you know, there's that middle ground. And then there's the ones that are like, you know what, bring your own masks and or you don't have to wear them. So it's always interesting to see, you know, people are different, right? And I think from an employee perspective, there is not one member or one person in the industry that I've met that doesn't have a certain degree of responsibility or claim that for their team members. We want to make sure, you know, we're essential workers. And so providing an environment that is as safe as possible for them is important. But, you know, it's hard from an owner standpoint and a management standpoint. People are who they are, right? And so you still have those people that work for you that say, I'm not going to wear a mask because it's uncomfortable all day. Well, if your policy is to wear a mask, are you going to close your office because your employee doesn't want to wear a mask in the office? So it's keeping our team safe and making them understand the responsibility. It's interesting that you have some team members that say, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going to take my chances. And then, you know, what does that mean in terms of employer responsibility and resident exposure? It certainly is a bag of goodies we have not had to deal with before.
Sure. And as I think Jessica said, it's not just a it's also a PR battle as well with the image that you're portraying.
Definitely.
So let's talk real quick. We've got a few more minutes in this segment. Let's talk real quick about another one of the predictions that you had, Jessica, on air quality. Talk a little about air quality.
Oh, sure. So now recent findings, and of course it changes every day, so who knows what they'll be saying tomorrow, but now experts are saying that COVID is transferred through the air, you know, through droplets when you're speaking. So HVAC systems in communities, I think this is going to be very important, you know, and it should be, you know, you should change it frequently anyway and make sure everything's upgraded. But in this day and age, it'll be even more important. I think it'll be another thing that's publicized, again, to go back to the cleanliness, to show how serious you're taking this and just to give the residents the best experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Stephanie, the prediction said that the HVAC systems would be tested more frequently in multifamily and older systems would be upgraded. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I sure hope so. It all comes down to money, right? There's when you're renting people houses, yes, I have a responsibility to maintain the quality of that environment, but there also is a shared responsibility that, you know, residents have to express an interest in replacing air filters. Residents have to express an interest in you coming into their house to do that, right? Or, you know, sometimes the AC filters can't be changed on their own because maybe they're up in the ceiling or you have to unscrew something to get the air filter off. I think it would be interesting, and, you know, the University of Houston had an article in the Chronicle just a week ago that talked about a new AC filter that will, you know, leaps and bounds above the technology we have now that will actually eliminate COVID-19 virus particles. And so, you know, that's all that research and all the things that we can do to make it easier to provide a safer, more sanitary environment for people. Technology is going to be something that, you know, continues to be so, so important as we go forward to help us do our jobs better and help us provide a better environment for our residents and our team members.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break now. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 8 post-COVID multifamily property management predictions. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is Jessica Fuhr, the managing editor of MHN, Multi Housing News, as well as joining us is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder of Q10 Property Advisors. I do want to take a moment and remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Jessica, in the article that or the blog that you wrote entitled 8 Post-COVID Property Management Predictions, you put it as your third prediction, everything will be contactless. Talk about that.
Sure. And I think this builds on what Stephanie said earlier, you know, giving the best to the residents and making it the easiest. And also, I think our industry is going that way anyway. We have package management systems where you just put your items in a locker, or access control where you could let your guests in with your phone. You don't even have to be there. I think even rent collection might become that way. And it all goes back to just, you know, stopping the spread of disease. I know, you know, in our personal lives, maybe handshakes will be totally gone, which is honestly fine with me, you know. And now we all do the weird elbow bumps and everything. And I think this is going to continue with multifamily. We're going to see a lot of technology. Some really cool things are in the works that just make everything seamless. So beyond the stopping the spread of the disease and just keeping everything sanitary, I think this is just where our industry is going anyway. It makes it easier for the resident. It makes it easier to collect rents or fees. So I think, you know, this is a good thing for everyone.
You know, Stephanie, I was going to ask you the question of what have you seen new and different that may have been caused through the pandemic?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, we frequently talked before about, you know, changing things in the multifamily industry and how it's like a huge Titanic that you see it coming and you know you've got to do it, but you know you've got to change, but it's hard to get that huge shift to change. And I think COVID is certainly the glacier, if you will, that has forced the multifamily industry to change. You know, we had leasing agents and even marketing people that were really hesitating doing virtual tours, you know, hesitating allowing people to visit their units without without a leasing agent with them. And this certainly in a quick way forced us to have to handle that. And while it's great, I mean, I think it's a good thing. You know, there also are still some obstacles we're figuring out. You know, how do you have a key access to an apartment that's vacant and allow people in a secured, you know, limited access environment come onto the property as they see fit? And, you know, yes, you have information about them, but you're allowing people to come on you don't know. And so I think it's posed some challenges for us accepting things and for us finding, you know, the technology has been there, but quickly rolling it out on properties and figuring out how that works. And also, you know, really separating that intimate experience that we have. You know, we teach in leasing classes all the time that people lease apartments. And so you're going to lease from someone you like. And, you know, you don't have that touchy-feely experience when you can't go into the office or when you're limiting that interaction. And it's been a good thing because it's helped us be remote and it's helped our owners realize that we can do more things remotely and we don't have to have people in the office all the time. And I think it's helped our residents as well realize that just because they're not talking to us in person doesn't mean that it won't get done. But the flip side of that is that it also creates an extra degree of responsibility for the on-site teams to follow up and make sure that people know how to access the things that they do. You know, there's technology challenges with everything. And so if people aren't able, it's not a good user experience. It's not easy to access. You're already frustrated because you're at home and you can't, you know, work and, you know, maybe you're fighting with your spouse and all those COVID anxiety things you have. And then you want to pay your rent and you can't get the darn link to work, right? Or you want to check on your package and you just don't know what locker it's in and it's so frustrating. And so that elevated level of anxiety mixed with learning the technology that hasn't been there, mixed with making sure our on-site team know how the technology works, all are certainly things that we're facing with the new technology challenges.
You know, one thing that has always been in the back of my mind, even before, you know, the pandemic, when you go to Apartmentalize or the different conferences around the country, and you would see all these supplier partners that had these new this new software and all the things that where we are now, what the pandemic has kind of accelerated. You know, the question is, and Stephanie, I know you've got properties in your portfolio that are of different have different demographics on them. You know, when you got properties where you have maybe an older demographic or a demographic that may not have access to a lot of the technology that's available, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. You know, we saw it a lot when there was rental assistance available. This is when we really saw the limitations that our residents had with technology because there was, you know, rental assistance available and we were encouraging everyone to go online and that was the only way to do it is you went online and you had to register. And we realized how many of our residents at our, you know, C-class properties didn't have internet or didn't have an email account or didn't, you know, maybe it was a language barrier. And so their child was helping them or a relative was helping them with that language barrier. We saw it a great deal, and we actually, one of our properties that has a high English as a second language demographic there, we set up laptops and computers in the office and had them come in, and, you know, we had a manager there and a maintenance there that we had trained on how to use the system and how to go online to apply, and they actually walked them through the system. You know, we had six people in the office at a time helping them get through that challenge. Well, you
that's
know, that
wonderful.
Is one day. Yeah, that's one day of rental assistance, right? So think about what their life is like on a regular basis when they can't access that technology. And I think in situations like this, it really draws a heavy attention on the barriers to technology and the challenges that, you know, the different economic areas face. You know, you don't realize we take so much for granted that I can just go to my computer and I can easily access things. But there's a great deal of the population still that doesn't know. They don't know how to get on. They're not quite sure how that email works, you know. And so when we go to that technology means and we're making people pay online or we're making them check their balance online and they truly don't have the means, you've got to be open to that as an operator and realize that you've got to have other areas and other ways for people to function.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's, like you said, it kind of puts a spotlight on what the real situation is when you have something like a pandemic going on, and it shows you what those obstacles are. I want to switch to another one of your predictions, Jessica, that you had, which is the extra fees that will be built into leases. Talk about that for a second.
Sure. Well, we're already seeing this in other industries such as retail or restaurants where there's a COVID charge. This is to cover the extra cleaning, maybe the extra position to do the cleaning, some technologies which will also be for multifamily. You know, this stuff isn't free. You know, those Lysol wipes and all the toilet paper you're hoarding, you know, that's not free. And I think we're going to see that. It'll be a way to make some ancillary income, but also I think it'll be built into the leases going forward so that, you know, the residents will be aware of it and it'll just be common practice, I think.
Stephanie, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, so give us your thoughts on that.
You know, when we talk about adding extra fees into the leases, you know, there's only so much people can pay, right?
Right.
And so where is it going to be added? As a fee? Is it going to be added as a rental increase? Is it going to be added as, you know, all of those things? We have to take that into consideration as an owner. And can we raise rents? Maybe. Are we going to add a fee? Maybe. It's just really a challenge. You know, there's only so much juice you can get from a turnip, right? So people can only pay what they can pay. And so wherever we get it, if we add it, it is a challenge. A lot of the costs right now are just being incurred as an operational expense. I have encouraged all of our owners and everyone that we talk to keep track of all those expenses separately that are specifically related to extra cleaning or extra technology that you need, because maybe there'll be some tax deductions for those. Maybe there'll be some areas that you can get some relief, if you will, of things that we have to do. Because they're, you know, the cost is more expensive. At the beginning of this, we were all, you know, kind of freaking out because we couldn't get masks and we couldn't get cleaning supplies. We were, you know, bringing bleach from home and putting it in spray bottles so that we could make sure that everything was cleaned on the property level. Now the supplies have gotten, you know, more plentiful and it's easier to achieve, but we still have areas like fitness centers and business centers where we leave spray bottles or wipes and they disappear in the night. So people are, you know, also utilizing those areas. And so we have to make sure that, you know, we tack them to the wall. And so that there's stuff there for everybody to use if necessary.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of this interesting and important topic right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 8 post-COVID multifamily property management predictions. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Jessica Fiore, the managing editor of MHN, Multi-Housing News. And also joining the conversation is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder of Q10 Property Advisors. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Jessica, in your blog that you did, the 8 post-COVID property management predictions, you had as one of your predictions that virtual tours will resume. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, virtual tours were already gaining some steam in the industry, but this, you know, not being able to see anything in person really pushed them forward. I think afterwards, you know, while, and I think Stephanie mentioned, people lease, you know, the apartments, but I do think there'll still be a place for virtual tours. You know, there are people who are maybe moving across the country, across the state, who can't make it to an apartment, and it's a great way to see it without having to make a long trip. And it's a way to look at a few different apartments at once. You know, you could sit on your couch, you could have a drink in your hand and look at all these apartments. And we've covered this. Actually, some companies do the tours where you could look at the floor plans, and they're all great, but some are really innovative and are incorporating their staff, doing some live tours on FaceTime, and it's a great way to inject some personality while still keeping your distance and, you know, showing the property. So I do think that's going to continue.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say virtual tours has been an ugly word at some of our properties because as outgoing as our leasing team is, sometimes, you know, they're also like, well, wait a minute, I don't want to get in front of the camera. Like, no, I'm not into that. And so I've had leasing agents that have really embraced it and done some fun things, like Jessica said, and then we have those others that are like, oh, I hate that, I don't want to do this. But we'll continue that. We've provided, you know, walkthrough videos, and we try to do them as much as possible so that they have, if you will, a canned presentation that they can use if they want. But, you know, frequently I've had leasing agents that I start talking to them because they're walking around the leasing office and they're, like, waving me down because they're on a FaceTime with someone. And so I think people are embracing it more, which is great. You know, they don't want to, they don't want to come out, or they feel like it's a good thing. And really having that interaction, you know, still being able to have a face-to-face interaction with someone and know who you're leasing with has been helpful. We've seen too that not only are they just doing tours, but if they have questions, they end up calling and FaceTiming the leasing agent. So that provides, you know, some challenges too, right? Do we want residents having the cell phone numbers of our leasing agents? Or do you have a company phone that you use, or a company iPad? Again, those technology challenges are just things that we're having to deal with and figure out from, you know, A-class properties that maybe can afford an iPad to C properties that can't. And so finding that balance to make sure that everybody's services and needs are met, but we also, you know, can respect the privacy of our team, so that when you move in and you have that leasing agent cell phone number, you don't call them at, you know, 10 o'clock at night because your AC filter needs changed. So finding that balance is certainly important. But I think it's a really great thing, and it's been on the cusp for a very long time. And again, I think that COVID is what, you know, what made us turn the path and made us turn the ship to be able to embrace these ulterior ways of viewing and touring.
Stephanie, let me ask you this question about, you know, another dirty word, or I guess another potential negative to any kind of technology like that is it going to take away people's jobs down the road? I mean, I don't know that due to the pandemic that would be the case, obviously, but is that a concern, or is that something you see coming down the pike, that there's always a chance that technology would eliminate the need for as many people on your leasing team?
Well, you know, I can tell you, yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was shopping some properties. We're building a new community, and I was shopping some properties because I wanted to get some information that I wasn't getting online. You know, I was looking at their pricing, and I was looking at their policies, but I had a question like, hey, are there any other fees that you charge besides rent? Because it doesn't say, right? So I called 7 different properties, and 4 of them had answering services on. Well, you know, when I got the answering service, press 1 for leasing information, and then it takes you to an automated service, and, I just hung up. And it really opens your eyes when you do things like that. You know, the 3 that I could get in touch with had this great, happy leasing agent that I talked to and could ask my question and move on with my life. And the other 3 or 4 just caused me frustration. And so I think that is the case as well. You know, people need interaction. I mean, if anything, COVID has taught us that, right? The levels of depression have gone up. The levels of suicide have gone up because we are isolated and we're not having that personal interaction with people. And so, you know, I think Urbane is a property management company that's up north. They were really on the cusp of technology when they did contactless tours years ago. I remember them posting all kinds of videos about having key kiosks, but the keys would drop out and you could just tour your own property. And we all were like, oh my gosh, they're crazy. Those crazy Northerners. I can't believe they're doing that. And, you know, they have done subsequent studies and subsequent information about it just shifting the responsibility. It just gives you, not necessarily losing jobs, but it shifts the responsibility and it shifts the job duties to other areas that aren't necessarily that touring, right? That personal tour they can do on their own, but when they get back, they're going to need help with the technology part of it, right? Or they're going to need help with the work order part of it. And so is there going to be some sort of job loss? I think it's a job shift. I think that we continue to need a brain to process things, and we continue to need that personal connection with people because that's luckily the world that we live in. So job loss, no. Change of responsibilities and growing as individuals to grow your skill set, absolutely.
All right. You know, Jessica, your next prediction that you wrote about was that properties will have branded masks to use as giveaways. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so this is my most controversial one. People are not happy about it. And honestly, yeah, who wants to wear a mask? But, you know, whether they're enforced with residents or if the staff have to wear them for a while, I do see companies getting kind of into the mood and branding it just for pictures to make it look professional, so everyone's wearing the same mask on the property. Maybe they'll give some away to residents, you know, in their welcome bags. You know, and I see this also, actually, I saw it. I was dropping my daughter off to daycare, which was amazing. They're finally opening. And of course, they have other rules now, too. So I bring my three-year-old to this vestibule, and outside they have these masks with little elephants on them, so which is their company logo, you know, encouraging people to wear masks, and if you don't have one, they're providing them, and they get the benefit of the company logo. So it's sort of making the best of, and it's so cute, and who wouldn't want, you know, the little elephant. And you see other brands doing this, too. Any company now, I know I'm personally doing a lot of online shopping now to help the economy and do my part, and also because what else am I going to do sitting here? Every company now has masks. You could add them to your order. They all have the company names, and I think, you know, whether we like it or not, unfortunately, I think people are going to start giving out the branded ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stephanie, go ahead.
Masks are certainly, again, you almost had a necessity because it was hard to find masks that you could have. And so it was kind of a necessity that we found some branded masks because, okay, those are quicker to get than the regular ones are to get them custom made. So we do have masks at all of our properties. We don't give away branded masks just to everyone. We kind of keep it inside our team. But I think that promotional items in general, we were talking the other day about all those hand sanitizers that you got at all those expos that you threw away or that you didn't pick up because you were like, I don't
know. Now they're super valuable.
Yes. Now you're like digging through those drawers, right? Digging through those goodies to try to find some hand sanitizers. So all of those, I think, are everything will be changing. It's interesting. I think that the level of contamination, if you will, has always existed in our environment, right? I mean, there's always germs. People get sick. It's just a degree of sickness that you get. And I think with this new COVID, it's that we've never been exposed before. And yes, it is more contagious and there are more challenges. But, you know, it also opens our eyes to just how vulnerable we are, right, as a species, really. I mean, if this little virus can cause this much havoc, then truly we need to relook at our policies and our procedures and our exposure, because if it's not this, it's something else. I mean, you know, when you talk about cleanliness and those sorts of things, you know, I hate to say this word, but bed bugs, right? I whisper like no one's going to hear it. You know, when there was a huge outbreak of bed bugs years ago, we all were like, oh my gosh, the cross-contamination of walking from one apartment to the other and they're on my shoes and can I walk all the vacants in one day? And so, you know, it almost takes something, not necessarily this catastrophic by any means, but usually forced change is the change that's going to happen. And so, you know, whether it's masks, whether it's washing hands, whether it's hand sanitizing stations, all of those things are just going to help us be better at what we do and be safer in our environment. And if we can do that with a mask that says, you know, I love people, or our big thing is Q10 essential or multifamily essential workers, I think that's nothing but a good thing.
Great, great. Well, we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 8 post-COVID multifamily property management predictions. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Jessica Fiore, the managing editor of MHN, Multi-Housing News. And also joining the conversation is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder of Q10 Property Advisors. So we're down to the last two of the predictions that were mentioned in your blog, Jessica. The first one that we want to discuss is free food. When you walk into a property management office on a property, a leasing office?
Yeah, so sometimes when you'd go into a lobby of an apartment and there'd be free cookies and you'd smell them and, you know, it was a real draw. And I know as a resident, I would sometimes, you know, coincidentally walk by just to, and there happened to be cookies, and that totally wasn't the reason I walked out there. But now, unfortunately, everyone's very aware that people are touching other things, and you don't know where they've been or how who's breathed on what. So unfortunately, I think that's going to go. You know, maybe vending machines or something that people could wipe, but unfortunately, I think the free food as a perk is going to go away. Very sad.
You know, Stephanie, besides the free food, there's obviously supplier partners out there that are scent, S-C-E-N-T, scent companies, mm-hmm. where they pipe into your leasing office the smell of fresh baked cookies. So it's also a virtual type of thing. What are you seeing, and what do you predict is going to take the place or is going to happen in that area?
Yeah, you know, for a short amount of time, so, you know, we had the lockdown and no one could come into the office. And, you know, we've seen the gambit again. We have renegade properties that I keep open all the time that maybe are going through lease up. And I'm like, you know, it's a big enough office, it'll be just fine. And then we have the smaller offices where I don't want people in the office. And so we've had, we run the gambit. I don't think... I think that we've kind of been wavering away from, you know, Otis Spunkmeyer. Forgive me for,
right.
Man, the days of Otis Spunkmeyer were like...
Those are the best.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we would get the Otis 15, right? Because it wouldn't be the freshman 15 in college. It's the Otis Spunkmeyer 15 that you would get because you cook half the cookies for yourself. And then they come out of that oven warm, and you've just got to have them. Oh, yes. Those are the ones that you smell, Jessica, right? When you
yes.
come into the office on accident.
I'm picturing it right now.
Yes. So, you know, I think most of our properties have switched a long time ago to packaged goods. And so we've been giving, you know, bags of chips or bags of cookies or those sorts of things, nothing open. You know, I think it's a good move. And I definitely think that it's going to happen for resident events. You know, we do resident events at most of our properties. And I think it's a big draw for people. You know, people advertise it all the time that they offer resident events. I think it's the same thing, you know, offering things that are in a safe environment that you aren't sharing with other people. I mean, when you really stop and think about it, you know, there are some people that are just really gross, right? And that don't mention the little ones. I have a child, and I know I'm like, no going to the buffet, no going to the buffet. So I think it's a good thing, and I think that people are going to be appreciative that, you know, everyone's conscious of that going forward. Bottles of water rather than, you know, bottles or cans of water or individual disposable cups, as much as non-environmental friendly they are, I think it is how things are gonna happen.
You know, there's one rather famous industry leader who has a company with where he owns and manages a lot of properties in the Houston, Texas area. And he told me a story. This was way, way, way pre-COVID. He told me a story where, you know, everybody was going to all the fancy coffee makers and so forth for their leasing offices. And he started doing a count, and they were going through 3,000 of the disposable cups every month.
Wow.
And so he ended up making the decision to say the coffee is available, but you have to bring your own cup, and their expense went way, way down. What do you think is going to change as far as the coffee that's offered generally in the leasing offices? Is that going to change at all?
Yeah, you know, there's a ton of kind of individual Keurig machines, right? Keurig machines. I think we've already gone to that individual serving size. You know, at one of our properties, when they move in, we give them a move-in cup, right, a move-in coffee cup, because we have a Starbucks machine there. But it's interesting whether you spend the money on different sizes of cups, I mean, different amounts of coffee they get, right? Because you'll have some people that'll bring in a traveler mug that'll fill up with 19 cups of coffee in the morning. And so, you know, whether you spend the money on the coffee or you spend the money on the cups, it certainly is. It is simply a pleasure for residents, right? I don't think there's any return on investment at all for your Starbucks machine. I think it's just offering something nice that you can do the right thing. But there is a heavy cost for most of those in offices because they are utilized.
Okay, so we have about 3 minutes before I want to transition to another quick topic. But the last of your predictions, Jessica, was that there will be a return to in-person events eventually. What does that mean?
Right. Well, Stephanie mentioned before, too, that residents love events. They love, I mean, the free food, which might be different now. They love, you know, getting to meet each other. And, you know, when the pandemic started, everyone switched to Zoom, and they were great, and they were thinking of book clubs and, you know, cooking classes and happy hours. I personally had a few with my friends, Zoom happy hour. They're a little weird, you know. Everyone's looking at you feel like the Brady Bunch. Everyone's looking at different places. You have little kids wandering in and out and dogs, you know, and it's just – if you're working all day or sitting all day in one place, you miss the human interaction. And eventually people will leave their apartments and maybe the events will look a little different. You know, I don't know if everyone will want to, if apartments have a screening room, say, I don't know if everyone will want to be packed in there watching a movie, but certainly outside events, you know, maybe screening a movie outside then or something different. But people will want to get back out there and get back to as close to normal as they can.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what do you see coming down the pike for this?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, it's people want that interaction. And even if usually you'll publicize that you have community events and half the people will come, half the people won't, the more you have, they come. I think there will be more in-person events, and while you can do things virtually, you know, we've done virtual painting or virtual bingo, you know, one of the top reasons why people move in or renew their leases is because of a sense of community. And, you know, it's very difficult to create that sense of community over a computer screen. You know, we talked this whole hour about the challenges with internet and the challenges with, you know, technology. And so people want that intimate relationship. They want to feel like they belong somewhere. And I think as community providers in the apartment industry, it's almost our obligation to help them foster that. You know, if you want better renewals, if you want a better sense of community and people caring about where they live and picking up their own trash and being accountable to each other, you know, there's nothing good about creating wedges between people. And it's always good to have some sort of community so that people are accountable to one another for their activities. And introducing them to each other and having in-person areas and in-person things that they can do is the only way to do that. We are still doing that at many of our communities with, you know, with social distancing. So we'll have appointments, you know, where, you know, three people can come in at this time, and luckily we have some offices that are large enough. And we just have, you know, several different stations that people can go to, and we'll have a sign that says, you know, only two people at this station at one time, so that we can provide some sort of interaction where they're talking and there's music going, but they're not on top of each other. So, yes, absolutely, we've got to do this, and I think more communities need to embrace creating a community in general, not only in leasing offices, but everywhere. We need to care more about the people that we live with.
So we've talked about this topic for four segments. I do want to give both of you a chance because I'm sure our listeners would like to know, if they wanted more information, how they can get in touch with you. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about Q10 and what's going on with Q10 and how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. So Q10 is a third-party training, consulting, and third-party management company. So we help small owners, big owners. We do third-party management. We also do training, due diligence, all kinds of great stuff in multifamily to help you make sure that you're getting a good asset and managing a good asset. So we're located in the Houston area, but we have properties all over Texas. And you can reach us at Q10PA.com is the website. And my email is Stephanie. At Q10PA.com. We're always here.
Great. And Jessica, tell us what's going on with MHN and how people can reach you.
Oh, sure. So Multi-Housing News is a magazine. We're B2B. We cover development, design, finance. We have news, blogs, features, a very, very talented team of editors working with us. And also with our sister publication, Commercial Property Executive, which is the commercial side of the real estate. And we're always looking for new topics, new writers, new experts. So feel free to contact me. It's jessica.fiur@cpe-mhn.com, or I'm on Twitter at jfuhr.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for being on. We'd love to have you both back again sometime soon, but we are going to have to leave it here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.